Do we have any avid readers here? Does anybody know what the number one best-selling book is today? The Bible. You're right. Did you look at the New York Times bestseller list last week? It's not listed. You know why? Because the Bible is the all-time best-selling book ever written. 100 million copies. One app has registered 200 million downloads. The Bible has had an impact on Western civilization. It's had an impact around the world. People have surrendered their lives, preaching its word in areas that were hostile to it. People have started clandestine groups to gather together to study it under the fear of being arrested, possibly tried, convicted, imprisoned, or even executed. The Bible that no one can argue with has had an impact. Now, as a little kid, I went to Sunday school in a Baptist church. And the way that, I don't know if I've ever told you how I ended up in the Baptist church. I was 6 years old, and the Baptist church was right across the street, and my mother decided it was time that I get exposed to religion. And so I was sent to Sunday school in the Baptist church. And it was interesting. A lot of what was done there were Bible stories and singing. Anybody else have that experience? One of the first songs that I learned, I didn't write it, went like this. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Anybody ever hear it? See, there are a few there. You're outing yourselves. I just want you to know that, because that is very Baptist. Also, it's also only partially correct, because as I came to learn, not as a six-year-old, but later on, that what we were singing was basically Martin Luther's approach to Scripture. Sola Scriptura. Scripture is sufficient. Scripture alone. The Bible alone. Now, we as Catholics can say, well, that's not exactly what we believe. Because we'll say Scripture and tradition. And we point to our rich sacramental history and our beautiful worship and how grace is bestowed in the sacraments, all seven of them, and how we come to meet the Lord, body and blood, soul and divinity in the Holy Eucharist. But we need to be very careful, dear friends, that we don't somehow twist that to say that the Bible is not important. 1 Timothy tells us that all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching. Doesn't say sufficient, but does say useful. Some of our Alpha friends can tell you, they're experts on this now, how the Bible is a collection of books, has 40 authors, but one architect, one inspirer. That God inspired the sacred writers who came from different viewpoints, different times, different cultures, different backgrounds, but they all fed into the people of their time words that still ring true to us today. Literally, to say that the Bible is divinely inspired means it was breathed by God. God's breath is pretty powerful. The first time we hear about it is in creation, that God breathed over the waters and land came forth. God's breath creates. God's word creates. And when we speak of the Word of God, we're not just speaking of the book. We're also speaking of the person, Jesus Christ. The very beginning of John's Gospel reminds us, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Greek word logos. God's Word is powerful. God's Word is relevant. And God's Word is alive. And before we talk about anything else today, we need to keep that in mind. That the Bible's not just a book that is a great book that we say, we can sit on the shelves and say, well, it had a great impact. There are some nice sayings, just like Aesop's fables. It's more than that. It's more than that. Pope Francis in Evangelium Gaudium, The Joy of the Gospel, he says, we don't blindly seek God or wait for Him to speak to us first. For God has already spoken. And there's nothing further that we need to know which has not been revealed to us. Let us receive the sublime treasure of the revealed Word. Now, you know, sometimes we can look at it and say, that's a little scary. Some of us come from a generation where we were told, don't read the Bible. You don't know what you're doing. But we need to remember, dear friends, that reading the Bible is not the same as performing brain surgery. You're not going to harm anybody. It's not that we open the pages of Scripture and say, what new teaching can I come up with? What new doctrine then can I create? There's a higher level for that. The Spirit lives in the church. If Jesus was the Word and is the Word of God subsists in His church. The body of Christ is given for us, but we are the body of Christ. How does the body of Christ receive nourishment? On the Word. One of my favorite passages from Scripture we read today. They were scared. And He just simply said, peace be with you. I know you were thinking I was going to say, when He looked at Him and said, do you have anything to eat? But you know what? He ate. But again, He fed. So often the answers are hidden in plain sight for us in the Scriptures. But we get so scared that we're going to misinterpret or misunderstand or get caught wrapped up in like a ball of confusion that we don't even try. Yet there's this yearning, I believe, that is in every human heart. Questions that we ask, like, what is my purpose? What does God want for me? Where is God leading me? And we might get a little frustrated because God often doesn't speak by ripping the clouds open and giving a bolt of lightning and a clasp of thunder and then hearing that booming voice. Would that it be that clear? But rather, He speaks often in a still, small voice. And God still speaks in His Word. And in this series, as we talk about what it means to break open God's Word and to pray with it and let God speak, we're going to talk a little bit about just some basic things. Well, you know, first of all, let's talk about how can God speak. I'll give two examples. Because I am not one who believes in coincidences. You know what the Bible is, right? B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. It's what we got now till we see Him face to face. Our basic instructions. Mickey Gumbel, who a lot of you know from the Alpha videos, tells a story about how he came to faith in Jesus Christ. And he came out of a family where mom and dad really weren't religious people. They dabbled in it culturally in the Church of England. His mom later on became committed to her faith. His dad, not so much. When his dad passed away, he was so disturbed, wondering, Well, where's that leave him? Does that mean he's not in heaven? Does that mean he's totally rejected God? How many of us have ever felt that way? That there's question marks that we have concerns for people who've died or people who maybe seem lost in our own lives. And we feel powerless to change it. Now, as Catholics, we believe that there really is power in praying and offering the Mass for our deceased brothers and sisters. Because we don't know what is on someone's heart when they died. We don't know that it's always that cut and dried. Because we see the surface. God sees the heart. God knows what's going on. Well, anyway, his dad passes away. And he's struggling with this. And one day he's reading scripture. He's reading out of Romans. And he comes across the verse that says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Sounds pretty blanket, doesn't it? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And he asks him, what's that mean? How do you know? Well, his wife is in the next room. And she comes in and says, "You know, I've been reading scripture." And she's reading out of the Acts of the Apostles. She says, "I think this scripture was for you more than for me, Nikki." And he reads it, it's Acts, it says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." The only two places in Scripture that those words are uttered in exactly that way. And he got a little bit of consolation from that. 3 days later, he's in a Bible study group. Guess what book they're studying? Romans. Guess what chapter they're in? 10. Guess what verse they come across? 31. Anybody want to guess what it says? "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." A few weeks later, he's in the subway in London. He comes out and sees a billboard. Guess what's on the billboard? That verse, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And he's like, God's taking a baseball bat to me. And he had some peace. Now, my story's not quite as in your face as that. I remember my first year of being ordained a priest. It was year one in a parish assignment. And both myself and the pastor were new to the parish. And as you know, any kind of transition in any community or organization can be difficult. You get used to different personalities, different ways of doing things, and so forth. Well, I remember one night sitting there, and afterwards saying, "Thank God I was the associate, not the pastor." But we're at a pastoral council meeting, and it just kind of blew up. Everything blew up. Anything that was different from what was before was like a target. And I remember going away from that meeting that was charged with emotion. Just like, I'd say pretty despondent. My pastor was a little bit mature about it than I was. I was walking away saying, "Do I need to get out of here? Is this... you know, this is too hard." My pastor, he goes. I hang around and I kind of find myself immersed in the drama probably more than I should have been. And I get back to the house and he looks at me and he's just smiling. He says, in all his compassionate pastoral voice, "Is the honeymoon over?" I'm like, nice, nice. The next morning, I still was struggling. I wasn't scheduled for Mass that day. And I decided to celebrate Mass by myself. So I hadn't really even looked at the readings to prepare them in any prayerful manner. And there was a scripture reading, the first reading of the day. And I have to say, this is the first and only time that I ever celebrated Mass. And in the middle of a reading, because I was doing it myself, burst out laughing. Because it was during the Lenten season. And it's that reading from Sirach, where it says, this is what they say about the just one. And I'm paraphrasing now. We don't like him. He's different from us. His ways are different than our ways. Now, obviously, the scripture reading was speaking of Jesus. And I remember as I'm reading that, I started laughing. It was just like God was saying, "You think you've got it tough? Try a cross, a real cross." And you see, that's where, dear friends, I didn't need a degree in scripture. I didn't need to know all the details of that context and who was being written to and what were the historical circumstances and what was going on. All I had to do was have a heart that was a little bit open, a little bit soft, and let God speak. And you know, we have our hurts, we have our troubles. God does have answers in Scripture. If we just take the time. Now there's a warning. It's not always going to be consolation. Sometimes it'll be a challenge. Sometimes there'll be some humor. Sometimes there'll be some inspiration. Maybe even a pious thought. But it's about really exposing ourselves to the Word and letting the Word be exposed to us. Keeping in mind that Jesus Christ is the Word. Oh, you read the Scriptures, there's some scary stuff in there. Don't start with Leviticus, please. Everybody's getting stoned, and I'm not talking about on marijuana. It's like if you look at your neighbor cross-eyed, take them out and stone them. You know, it's rough. But you have to look at the whole picture. Don't look at the words. Look to the Word. Jesus Christ is the Word. You might sit there and say, "I don't know where to start." Well, first of all, remember, when you read it, it's a love letter. Those are God's words to you. And sometimes people don't even know where to begin. You know, you might get one of these. For those that can't see, it's a Bible. You know? And you might say, "Well, maybe I'll start. Maybe I'll be real ambitious. I'm going to read one book a day, every day." Guess what? You are going to fail. Because you're going to get tired of it. Or, "I'm going to read it just before I go to bed." You're going to fall asleep. All you have to do is take a little morsel. Maybe you're saying, "Well, that Bible, that's really big. That's like one of those big novels. And it has tiny print." It's okay. You don't have to use the Bible. You can maybe get something like Magnificat or The Word Among Us that have the readings for every daily Mass there. You don't have to read it out of this book. Get something that's maybe a little more bite-sized. Or use this book, but look in the bulletin and see what the readings are for the day or for the following Sunday. And just reflect on them. Chew on them a little bit. Or maybe say, "I can't carry a book like that around. I'm so busy." You can use an iPhone. There's an app for that. There's like hundreds of apps for that. You know, it's not just for making phone calls and getting emails. You can pray with your iPhone or your iPad or your Droid or whatever the other gadget is. I don't know, do they have one on an Xbox? I don't know. But God's Word can permeate our culture, our lives in ways that we probably never could have imagined years ago, right? The point is, find it. Sit with it. Read a passage a little bit. Here's your challenge. Between now and next Sunday, read next Sunday's gospel. And maybe look at words or phrases that jump out at you and sit with you. Or maybe take today's gospel and reread it. Who do you relate to? What words of Jesus are jumping out at you? Maybe you're a doubter. And Jesus is saying, "Go ahead. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. Put your hand in my side. come to believe. If you sit with it prayerfully and just let God speak, God's word is there just for the taking. You just have to remember that often that word is hidden in plain sight. Amen.